This part particularly fascinating. So we're going to begin with Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. Coming off of last week, we looked at Matthew 23 at verse 37 and 39, which is where Matthew 24 actually starts because of context, speaking to Jerusalem, speaking to God's people. And here now, after some questioning from his disciples, Jesus answered and said, Matthew verse 4, 24, said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." This is the working, actually, of the one on a white horse. If you remember, we noticed that he had a bow, but no arrow. He would conquer the world through world peace. So Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, reads as follows. "And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer." So he stops all the fighting. What a hero. No more fighting. Nice guy. Wow. Interesting. Beware lest anyone deceive you. If there were someone who promised world peace and brought it to pass within a short period of time, I suspect that that someone would immediately become the head of the United Nations, and he would probably be honored with a Nobel Peace Prize. Because that's how linked and hooked up we are to needing world peace. We want world peace at all costs. Be careful. It was Jesus himself that said, "Do not say that I've come to bring peace. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to make the world work. I'm here to make you work in the relationship that I present to you." Interesting. The mindset that we can have that will cause us to think funny. If you're looking for something, you're not only looking for something, that's the same path you're going to receive something from. So it could color your thinking, because you already have a preconceived idea of what is right. Be careful. Be careful. And who among us would dispute it and not be deceived? I mean, when it comes out, set out like that, how could you see that for what it really is? There is a way. There's only one way. If you don't see the world through this, you won't know what God's talking about. When you read it, you'll be reading into it, because you're seeing it from the world's perspective. Our opening scripture this morning: "Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord in all your ways." So who would not be deceived? This is the work of the Antichrist. His message will be considered good news. His promise will sound the same as what the angel said about the Christ child: "Peace on earth and goodwill toward men." Happy, happy, happy. Everybody happy now. Oh, things we sell ourselves out to. He will first win the world over by bringing world peace without Christ, the Prince of Peace, and then assume the place of its ruler. Oh, yeah. Good news without Christ. Is such a thing possible? Well, if you're talking about your wife brought ice cream home when she bought groceries, that's a good thing. Or if you're talking about not having to wash the car today because you got a sore back, that's a good thing. World peace without Christ is not a good thing. But man will settle for it. And that's a scary thing. It's what the enemy's counting on. So it's then, and only then, that his true colors will show. Jesus said that he was a murderer from the beginning. John 8, verse 44. He's a murderer from the beginning. The devil. Let's just read that. John 8, 44. So this is Jesus speaking. Actually, to go with verse 43 in regards to what I've just been saying. Why do you not understand my speech? This is Jesus. Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he does not stand in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Oh, be careful of what you want. Be careful of the one you love. If it's not God, you're going to think funny. It's going to mess with your head. And nobody will be able to convince you of anything different. You'll be unteachable. And duped on a regular basis by everybody, every predator. Comes along. Matthew 24, verse 6. Matthew 24, verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Remember the disciples' question of Jesus, Matthew 24, verse 3. What will be this sign of your coming and the end of the age? This is the one on the red horse, taking peace from the earth. Revelation chapter 6, verse 4. And another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and the people should, and that the people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. This is the halfway mark of the Great Tribulation. Peace is over now. I've got them. They think I'm wonderful. Now I'll just weed them out. Especially those nasty believers. Oh yeah. Which will have become believers. I'll explain that a little bit later. During this period. We're not going to be here for this. Right? We're gone. Rapture. We're out. So the ones that got saved during a few times of peace because they saw the rapture. And another very delightful thing we'll see as we go along. Sorry, I'm trying to preach two pages ahead here. So that Matthew 24, verse 7. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. So the rider, this is the rider on the black horse, Revelation 6, verse 5. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. Indeed. Things are not looking quite as positive. And so those with money, that is the ones with the oil and the wine, if you go on to read in those verses from Revelation 6, will leave their investments. As they are believing all will end well, in reality, all will be lost. Their funds will be used for another man's purpose. Don't harm it because the beast is going to need it. That's how he's working. But we won't be here. We won't be here. You can tell people that when you share Christ with them. You want to escape this? You don't have to go through this. But if you insist, if you want to get saved the hard way, you can do that. If you want to save the easy way, you do it now. Anyway, Matthew 24, verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And these we can see in Revelation 6, 9 to 11. And he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar, the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Verse 11. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Wow. Look at the connection. When Jesus said this back in Matthew 24, and these 2,000 years later, and we're looking at it again, and it still hasn't happened. But a lot of things have happened to set it up. And we're getting very close. Matthew 24, verses 9 to 13. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise and deceive many. And because of lawlessness, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. This is seen in Revelation 13, verse 7. You can read that for yourself. And following. So, what does it mean? Endures to the end shall be saved. In 9 out of 10 cases, the word saved means delivered from sin. But in this case, it means delivered from the Antichrist, who is the embodiment of sin, if you will. So not everybody will be killed by the Antichrist. Some will hide in caves or whatever, I don't know. But during that time, we're only looking at a 7-year period here, but during that time, nasty stuff. This verse is encouraging. When in Christ, we are saved both from death and in death. It's a win-win deal. As long as you don't have to have it a certain way. Oh, maybe that's a good statement for the Christian life. It's a good deal as long as you don't have to have it a certain way. As long as you don't have to have it your way, it's life abundantly. If you have to have it your way, it's religion. And it'll choke you to death. So, I actually, just a personal view here, but I think that Believer's Fellowship at this time will be an underground network like it used to be. The Antichrist will have killed who he can, but some will endure it to the end. The end of the tribulation and the end of the Antichrist. Hallelujah. Yeah, glory has his purpose, has his reason. God made it so to gather a few more believers. Ever have something that you just needed to squeeze every last drop out of? Something really good, like licking your ice cream bowl. I always wanted to do that, but I can't because my wife's always with me when I have ice cream. Sometime I'm going to go out without her and have ice cream. Or the pop bottle, you know? Licking the last little bit out of the pop bottle. Must be another drop in there. There must be another one that needs salvation. Until all those who will die like you died have come. I'm not closing the door till everybody's come home. That I know is coming home. Not that he predetermined you should come home, but he foreknew that you should come home, that you would come home, that you would choose. And so he waits. He waits. We've waited. We waited for kids to come home. They're supposed to be home at 10 or 11. What was it, midnight? 2 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, I've all been there, right? But you waited. You waited because they were your kid, your children. The end of the tribulation and the end of the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 9. And these things, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I heard another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and sea and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. The tribe of Reuben, 12,000. The tribe of Gad, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Levi, of Issachar, of Zebulun. All of these tribes, the tribe of Joseph, the tribe of Benjamin, till they were all sealed. After these things, I looked, And behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all the nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands. Wow. What we're about to see in this chapter is an unparalleled display of God's grace. An unequaled preaching of the gospel. 144,000 witnesses. They were sealed to do what? Sealed to do the same thing we are sealed by the Holy Spirit to do, to preach the gospel. Jews, 144,000. Seriously? God has kept His promise. He told that nation, I will do it. I will do it. Well, here it is. And look at the results. Unbelievable. Sometimes Gentile believers tend to celebrate themselves as the ones who are fulfilling the Great Commission and look down their noses at Jewish believers. But here we have 144,000 Jews sealed by God to preach the gospel. This happens during the period of time, small window, but during this makes it even more miraculous. Happens during the period of time after the rapture. You see that it's on your paper, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, 17, 2 Thessalonians 2:3. And before the Antichrist sets up as a Prince of Peace, Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. I don't know. Speculations, a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months. Or longer. But it's only a 7-year period. So I don't know how much longer this is going on. Maybe the two are kind of going on together. I don't know. It doesn't say how long it'll take the 144,000 to make converts so numerous they can't be counted. In verse 9. But the whole tribulation period, only 7 years, these are the ones who actually fulfill the Great Commission. That's the end of it. When they're done, that's the end of it. It wasn't like when the church age ended, that's the end of the Great Commission. No. This was still going on. This was God's work. This was God's doing. No man did this. Only a man that would be sealed for the work of God. Do you treasure that seal? Do you treasure that seal? You should treasure that seal. This is not a time to be living for ourselves or about ourselves. We've been sealed for a reason. Not personal glory. For God's glory. Treasure the time. Treasure the seal. Not that others haven't preached and seen many come to Christ, but nothing quite like this. And the link to Jesus' first followers, the Jews, is distinct. Check this out. Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Wow. And then Paul declares in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Wow. The natural branch from which comes the root. Ah, we've been grafted in. Yes, perfect. But it doesn't make us a special branch. The natural branches, they were first. It came to them first, way back then. And now they're finishing it in the Great Tribulation. Who could do that kind of stuff? Only God. Only God does that kind of stuff. So the commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel in every nation began with Jesus' disciples. Many have joined them down through the ages, but here in the midst of the Great Tribulation, we see Jewish believers leading the way and completing the Great Commission. God has prepared the Great tribulation, not to show his wrath, but to demonstrate his mercy by bringing a great multitude to faith in Christ. It's mercy. It's mercy. Well, can't God just be merciful without hurting me? Maybe you're brighter than I am, I don't know, but I've never learned anything that didn't hurt. I've done, studied a lot of stuff and poked a lot of things in my head, but I've never actually learned something that didn't hurt. God knows that people are like that. Don't spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. Oh, we don't do that anymore. No, okay, that's fine. But you need to have some discipline in your with your child. You need to do something to bring that child's behavior to the right place, otherwise they're going to perish. You can't live with them. It has to be. You suppose God would do something like that? Oh no, God is love. Oh, don't be an idiot. Excuse me, I shouldn't have said that. But don't be silly. God is not mamby-pamby. If you want to know what love is, look at God. He will bless, He will cuddle, He will hold your hand, and He will spank you. For your own good. For His glory. Yeah. It's His faithfulness. And so He takes the earth in hand. And He deals with it. He's helping. Revelation 7 verse 9. After these things I looked in a great multitude. So, who are these people? You can see them in Revelation chapter 7, 13, verse 14. Shall we look at that? Or did we already read that? I don't think so. Revelation 7, 13 to 14. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Wow. It appears that there may be more people saved during the tribulation period than there have been through the entire church age. And what is even more amazing is that all this happened when God removed the church out of the world. Wow. I thought we were the only hands that God had. You know, we're the only mouth that God has. He needs us, doesn't He? No. No, He does not. He likes to work in us and through us. He does not need us. He wants our fellowship. He loves us. He wants us to love Him and enjoy His fellowship. So, Matthew 24... Verses 13 and 14. Yes, blessed is he who endures to the end. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. So in review then, enduring to the end. This is not referring to the end of the church age, but to the end of the tribulation. And who is it that will complete the Great Commission? Not the church. But the 144,000 chosen and sealed Jews out of the Great Tribulation, and certainly not the Watchtower members, which they'll tell you it is and it isn't. Isaiah 42 verse 6 says, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness," speaking to His people, "and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles." Oh, perfect. What a great ending. Faithfulness right to the end. Right to the end. When it's pleasant and when it's not pleasant. Our kids used to throw up a lot. But we didn't sell them. We thought about it though, didn't we? No, we wiped up the mess. When they came in at whatever hour it was in the night, One was late, and the other one came in smelling like cigarette smoke. And we warned them about that. And I'm standing there in my house coat thinking, why can't we just go to bed, go to sleep, and get up in the morning? Why can't it just be that simple? It's not that simple. It's never that simple. And the love of God will put you in places that you are going to find uncomfortable. And the love of God will force you, compel you to say things you don't want to say. Lord, they're not going to like me if I say that. You want them to like you. They don't like me. Why would they like you? You don't think the love of God would compel us and put us in such a place? All the time. All the time. If the Jewish nation is a light unto the Gentiles, then the Gentiles need to be a light in this world. And the darkness isn't going to like it. Besides, Jesus said, beware when all men think well of you. So if you've made some enemies, good. Hopefully they'll become your friend again someday. But if not, if you stood for the truth, good. I'll just close with Romans chapter 11, number of verses in there. Thank you for bearing with me today in all of this. Romans 11, 13 to 34, actually. I say then, have they stumbled, so he's speaking of his people, the Jews, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I spoke to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, that would be the Jews, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he'll not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but to you, goodness. And if you continue in his goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. A blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Whoa. That's sacrificial love. Big time. Big time. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now being disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Thank you, Jesus, for this day in your presence. And as we worship you, Lord, we pray that you would be pleased. Amen.